collection of days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
Well, we are continuing in our fall series, Community. We're talking about family. We're talking about the body of Christ, the covenant community. Last weekend, we talked about what does it mean to be in covenant community? And we here at Salt Creek Church, we have a membership covenant that we have, that when we come together and we commit to one another to being members of this local gathering of believers, we agree to the words of that covenant, and it helps us understand how we are going to relate to one another, how we are going to treat one another. And we pull that stuff out of God's word where we say, okay, here's verses where it talks about what our relationships as brothers and sisters in Christ should look like. And we baked all of that into this membership covenant, that we are reminding ourselves of that, of how it instructs us, of what does it mean to follow Christ together in community. So this morning, we're not going to read the whole thing together. Those of you here who were here last week got to do that. Today, it's actually printed there in the bulletin on the back side of that sermon notes where you're always furiously writing down all of the interesting things that I say up here. I thought that was more of a joke than anything. So there we go. You know it's a bad joke when nobody laughs. Their courtesy laugh, that's great. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at one of the sections, one of the paragraphs of that. So we kind of were talking about covenant community, looking at the introduction a little bit, the beginning and the end. And so that second paragraph in there is what we're going to focus on. I'm going to read it for us here in a little bit. But before we do that, I want to share with you a story, or I want to introduce you to somebody that God had brought in my life. So it's a story about a woman named Susie. We're going to call her Susie. If you're tracking with me, that's not really her name, but we're going to call her Susie. Years before I met Susie, she was a follower of Jesus, and life was good. She had the marriage, she had the kids, she had the church family, the whole thing. The kind of life that if you had met her in those years, you would have thought, man, I wish my life could be easy and smooth like her life. I met Susie and her family when they were celebrating her daughter's birthday with a weekend at the coast when I was pastoring a church there on the Washington coast. And while there for the weekend, they decided they would come and join our church as we gathered that Lord's Day, that Sunday morning, to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when they joined us for worship that day, while they were there, something happened. What happened was God's Holy Spirit showed up and broke through into Susie's life. And we're talking today about how does God's Holy Spirit show up when we are doing community together and we cooperate with God's Holy Spirit when we are gathered together and how that works and functions. And I saw it firsthand in her life. And some of you have experienced it firsthand in your lives, in these times when God's people are gathered together. Later, I'll tell you a little bit about what happened in Susie's life. But that's what we're going to talk about as we think through our covenant. So I'm going to pray. We're going to read that second paragraph there. And then we're going to talk about what does it mean to cooperate with God's Holy Spirit when we are gathered together. So let's pray. Father God, and we thank you for what you have done in bringing your people together as your church. And you've brought this group here together at Salt Creek Church. God, you've brought other believers together in other churches that are doing the exact same things we are doing today. They're worshiping you. They're reading your scriptures. They're thinking deeply about your work in their lives. God, we ask that you would bless them as well. And God, that you would bless this time that we have to be gathered together, God, to celebrate you and to learn from you more about the lives that you desire us to live. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I mentioned, we're going to kind of think through that second paragraph of the church membership covenant. It says there, "We pledge, therefore, by the aid of God's Spirit, to live together in Christian love, to work for the advancement of God's kingdom through this church in knowledge, holiness, and mutual care, to support its ministry by a faithful stewardship of money, time, and talents, and to sustain its worship, ordinances, doctrines, and disciplines." Now, there's four things that we're going to look at that as we think about what is this saying about how we as a community of believers cooperate with the work that God is doing through His Holy Spirit in and among us. And so the first thing that we recognize is that we cooperate with the Holy Spirit when we gather together, when we are in space together, when we are gathered, whether it's gathered around the kitchen table, whether it's gathered in a living room for Bible study, in a classroom here for a small group or a Sunday school class, whether we're gathered at the coffee shop or we're gathered in this space here. When we gather together, we are cooperating with what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives and the lives of others. Again, that first line in that we've made a commitment to one another says, by the aid of God's Holy Spirit, that's that cooperating with the Holy Spirit part. That underlies everything we talk about in this section. Because without the Holy Spirit working in us, residing in us and working in us and through us, the commitments we make to one another are not possible to live out. We will live just as the world lives without the Holy Spirit's work in us. So that's primary. We are cooperating with the Holy Spirit in all of this today that we're talking about. That we have declared that we are going to live together in Christian love. Now, that doesn't mean you get to move into my house, and I'm not going to move into your house. But it means we are going to do life. Yeah, you can breathe a sigh of relief, right? We are going to do life together, shoulder to shoulder. We are going to do life together. We're going to pray together. We're going to cry together. We're going to celebrate together. We're going to parent alongside one another as our children grow up together in this church. We're going to do life in relationship with one another. That's why we're talking about that. Because we are gathering together in this. Now, some people ask the question, why do we gather every Sunday? And I think sometimes we have to ask ourselves that question. We have to come back to that and say, why do we do this? Why are we together every Sunday? Do we do it out of habit? It's just routine. Every Sunday, you get up, you get dressed, and you come here. Is it out of habit? Or do we do it because there's free coffee and donuts? Sometimes I think my kids might be here because of the donuts. I don't know. Or is there something more? Is there something more to coming together? Is there a deeper reason why we're here? It's not just a habit. It's not just because, you know, it's such a fun place to be. But is there something more? Do we actually anticipate meeting with God and experiencing God when we gather together? Do we anticipate that? Do we pray for God's presence to be felt by ourselves and others when we are gathered together? Do we expect God to show up in those times of gathering, whether it's a Sunday morning or whenever that we're with people? Jesus gave us this principle about God's activity in and among us when we are together. It's in Matthew 18:20. He says, "Where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." So when we are gathered together in the name of Jesus, meaning we have come together intentionally for spiritual encouragement, to pray together, to learn together, it doesn't necessarily mean like, well, if three of us happen to be shopping at Walmart at the same time, God shows up in a special way. That's not what we're talking about. We're gathered together intentionally to seek the Lord, right? Because I know I run into you guys at Walmart. I know you're there, right? Sometimes I do more visitation shopping in town than other times. And some of you avoid me. I see you. It happens. I know. I was going to talk to you about that. But God is with us in that. See, we need each other. That's why God put together the concept of church, of the community of believers. We are designed in the image of God for community. God himself is community, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, eternally existing in community with one another. We are made in that image. We are designed for community. We need each other. The Holy Spirit speaks through and works through this community of believers that are gathered together. We hear the voice of God coming through one another. Whether it's somebody teaching in your small group this morning, or whether it's through the worship time that has been prepared and put together for you to engage in worship, or whether it's in that fellowship time when you're enjoying a donut with somebody and you're encouraging them, and all of a sudden, they're not just hearing your voice, but they're hearing God's voice in that encouragement. We need that with one another. Recently, our church was faced with a major decision that we had that came to us. And it was interesting, as I was praying about it, the Holy Spirit had put a name in my mind of someone that I should call and ask them to just be praying about this decision. Now, I am sometimes a little bit slow and a little bit dense at times. You can verify that with my family. They'll be honest with you. And I didn't follow through on that Holy Spirit's leading. I didn't make that phone call. And wouldn't you know it, the day that we are going to have to make a decision about this thing that had come to our leadership, that very day, I get a phone call. And it happens to be the very same person that a couple of weeks prior, God had put on my heart, I should call this person to pray about this. And they were being prompted by the Holy Spirit to call me because they had been feeling burdened about this. They knew through other channels that this decision was on the shoulders of our leadership and felt led to call. See, God speaks through each other, through the community, to help us, to guide us, to direct us. Sometimes we're a little bit dense when we're supposed to seek that counsel and that wisdom, and so in some of those times, he actually just makes it happen because he knows you need to hear his voice from that brother or sister in Christ. He uses each of us to speak in the lives of each other. So I ask, how many times have you, think about this, have you been with God's people in some kind of environment? Maybe it's a Sunday morning, maybe it's a small group in somebody's home, wherever it is. And the most significant thing you heard God speak to you that day was not something that was part of the prepared message or lesson for the day. I'm seeing a lot of head nodding. Yeah. Yeah. It always seems like it's some other way that it's not that you don't hear God in the lessons, but this significant way that God works and speaks. You know, it's interesting. I tell people this. There is a mystery to what is going on right now because God is at work in our presence right now. And he is speaking things to you that are not necessarily things that I think that he's speaking to you, and not necessarily things that he has put on my heart. Because I have people come up to me all the time after a Sunday morning worship gathering like this, and they say, "Wow, Pastor David, that was so great. I love it when you said dot, dot, dot." And in the back, and I'm like, "Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. Praise the Lord." And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I never said dot, dot, dot. Because they're hearing God's voice in this space, in this gathering. And it happens in Sunday school classes. It happens in small groups. It happens in Bible studies. It happens when God's people gather. Because God is going to speak his word to you through his people. That's how we cooperate with God in this space when we gather together. We also cooperate with the Holy Spirit when we go together, when we go on mission together. We said we further pledge to work for the advancement of God's kingdom through his church in knowledge, holiness, and mutual care. Now, the greatest missionary ever that we have, we look to the scriptures. The Apostle Paul, who brought the Word of God, who brought the gospel of Jesus Christ into places that it had never been. What you don't know or may not know about the Apostle Paul is that he didn't wake up one day and just decide he was going to be a missionary. When you read his story in the book of Acts, he was called out of community with other people. That's how God's calling works. It's not just that one day you decide, you know what? I think this is what I'm going to do. That's generally not how God works. He calls us out of community together. Look at Acts 13. In Acts 13, this is the story of how he was going by the name of Saul at that point, and he was renamed Paul later on, how he started as a missionary. It says, as they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, this is the church at Antioch it's talking about, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after they had fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them off as missionaries. And that's the first missionary journey of the man that we commonly know as the Apostle Paul. They were in church together. They were doing the exact same thing that we're doing today, gathered together on the Lord's Day, worshiping Jesus. And the Holy Spirit spoke into that space and said, these two people, I've got a special job for them. And so what did they do? They fasted, they prayed as a community, not just Paul and Barnabas. As a community, they fasted and they prayed, they lay hands on them, they prayed for them, and they sent them off. That's how God works. He calls us in community with that we are, when we are in community with others, he calls us into the work that we have. You see, the way of Jesus, it's not an individual pursuit. He works and speaks through the community. There were others that were there that were discerning that call with them and affirming the voice of God in their life. So in my life, there's one day, Vince talked about the North American Baptist regional meetings, which is a wonderful time because you get a whole weekend with me at the coast. But I happen to serve as on this executive team that helps coordinate things for our conference of churches here in the Northwest. As being in that position, I was on a phone call when I was still pastoring in Washington at our NAB church up there on the Washington coast. And I was still pastoring up there. And I'm on a conference call with other pastors, and we're sharing about prayer requests, right? We're sharing about prayer requests. And at that time, Pastor Larry was here. Some of you have heard this story. Pastor Larry was here. He was our interim pastor here at Salt Creek. And he just asked for prayer for the search process for this body as you were praying and searching for a new pastor. And in that time, as we were praying over the phone, we're in community, we're spread out, but we're in community, we're on the phone together in this conference call, and we're praying for the needs within the churches, within the region. And I distinctly hear God as we're praying for Salt Creek, it's because I'm holding that for you, David. Now, I kind of freak out a little bit because I wasn't looking for anything different. But what do I do next? I go to other believers. I go to my wife and I tell her, and we start praying. And then I go to other trusted brothers in Christ to ask them, I need you to pray with me and help me discern, am I actually hearing the voice of God right in this? I needed the community of believers. Before answering the call to go, I needed to know that other people were also hearing God in that call on my life. See, when somebody comes to me and tells me, well, I think God might be calling me to be a pastor, or God might be calling me to be a missionary, or to serve in some kind of capacity somewhere in the church, often what you will hear me ask is, okay, who else is affirming that call? Who else is praying with you that is also saying, yes, I agree that you are hearing the voice of God in this call in your life? Because I believe that God calls us in community. That if you are being called to something by God, he is also telling somebody else in your life that he is calling you to that. And we need to have those people praying with us and for us. And we discern the call of God out of community together. Now, I also want to take note that in this part of the covenant, our membership, it says that we advance God's kingdom. Now, this is an important thing to note. It is not about advancing one local church. It is about advancing God's kingdom. Growing the kingdom of God is our goal, which means sometimes we will do things that does not necessarily grow this local church. We will send money overseas for a project that's going to reach people somewhere else. We will go and we will help one of our brother or sister churches in our conference that's going to help grow their church. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have more people or more resources here. We're sharing, we're sending, people are going out. This church has always been a sending church. The number of people that are serving in other churches and in other countries for that. It is about advancing the kingdom of God, not just one church. Amen? So, thirdly, we cooperate with the Holy Spirit when we give together. Our covenant says that we pledge to support its ministry, the ministry of this church, by faithful stewardship of money, time, and talents. We give together. This is, Rod read this for us earlier out of Romans 12, 3-8. Let's look at that passage again. It says, "For by the grace given to me," this is the Apostle Paul writing, "I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think." People were getting arrogant within the church, and he's correcting their arrogance. He says, "Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, all the parts do not have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one body." So he's using the body imagery to talk about this gathering, right? So he's referring to this gathering as the body of Christ in this passage, and that we have different responsibilities. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. The different parts of the body do different things. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. Teaching and teaching. If exhorting and exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. And showing mercy with cheerfulness. Now, all of those are gifts, are spiritual gifts. Wrapped up in that, there are also talents that we have. And then there are also resources. And the Holy Spirit grants all of those to us. And so when we are able to give back to the community of believers, the community of Jesus, this gathering here, for the benefit of others, we share those resources, those gifts, those talents. Depending on what God has blessed you with, you are then able to give back to bless others. So that might be for you, that might be money. It might be time. It might be your talents. But the idea here is that as part of the community of Jesus, we give our resources to be a blessing to the community and to each other together. So when you are operating in those gifts, it is the Holy Spirit who is working in and through you. When you are teaching others, when you are giving or contributing, when you are showing mercy, whatever it was out of that passage that you are doing, that is, you are cooperating with the Holy Spirit in that. That is how God works in us and through us. What you can give will depend on what God has put under your care. This is what we call stewardship. See, God has given you talents or gifts. He's given you resources, things like money and time. And we steward them, we care for them, we use them wisely for the advancement of His kingdom and for His glory. What you and I get to do with what He's given to us as those stewards is we get to use it, and then we get to see the really cool things that God does out of it. Because when we are cooperating with the Holy Spirit, God does some really awesome things in other people's lives and in the life of our church that we are part of. One last one. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit when we grow together. when we grow together. I actually want to look at a different verse than is written down on your sheet. We're going to look at Hebrews 10. But just remember from our covenant, we read this earlier, our last thing, we pledge to sustain the worship, ordinances, doctrines, and disciplines of this church. Now, there's a couple of words up there that you may not be really familiar with if you haven't been in church for a long time. So we're going to explain some of this here. There are certain core activities that our church has always been about. And not just Salt Creek Church, but the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide has always been about and will always be about. Each of these activities is aimed at helping God's people grow in their faith as part of the community wherever they're at. The author of Hebrews gives us this instruction about our gathering together in this. He says, "Let us watch out for one another to provoke to love and to good works," to help one another grow is what he's saying here. We are here to help each other grow, right? "Not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching," meaning the day that Jesus returns. So, we are to provoke to love and good works. We are to be gathered together on a regular basis. And so then we ask the question, what do we do when we gather? Right, there were four things in that covenant that it talks about. Right, so the first one was worship. Right, what we are doing. We worship in music. We worship in reading the word. We worship in prayer. All of these things are lifting up the name of Jesus and recognizing the worth of God, the worthiness of God in that. That is our worship together. We have done that in this place for 120 plus years, and we will do that together until Jesus comes back to take us home. Second thing, it was this word ordinances. Now, ordinances is our fancy word about two core practices that we do as a church. The first one is baptism. I got to meet with a couple of young boys in our church about baptism today. So baptism is when we publicly declare our faith in Jesus and identify with this covenant community by being immersed in water, by being dunked down in water, and then we come up out of the water. So this is something that the church has always done. Jesus was baptized. He gave us the command to baptize others in his name, and we have been doing it for almost 2,000 years as a way of signifying that this is somebody who is part of God's family, and they're confessing their faith in Jesus. There's another one, and that is communion. Communion is something we do regularly to be reminded of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, different churches will do it on a different amount of frequency. Some do it weekly, some do it daily, some do it monthly. I've even heard of some doing it quarterly. The Bible doesn't say a schedule, it just says to do it regularly, okay? But we believe that in that time around the communion table, we are symbolically receiving the body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. It is because of Jesus' broken body and his shed blood on the cross that we can receive forgiveness. And so we have those elements as reminders for us that our forgiveness is based on what Jesus did for us. So we practice communion. There was a third word in there, doctrines. This is another one of those words that you don't probably use on a daily basis. Doctrines is our fancy word for what we believe about God and what we teach from the Bible. And so when we gather together, we will continually declare the truth of God's word as long as we are here. And that is something we have always done and something we will never stop doing. Whether it's popular or not, whether it's agreed upon in our culture or not, God's word stands, it never changes, and we will continually declare the truth of God's word as his covenant community. And lastly is that word disciplines. These are the spiritual practices or habits that we engage in, which we cooperate with God's work in our lives when we do that. So these are things like reading our Bibles, praying, maybe fasting, maybe spending time in silence or solitude. There's a lot of different things that are spiritual practices that help us draw closer to God and closer to one another. Because some of those practices we do in community together. Some we do as individuals, some we do in community. So what are we saying in this point? We're saying that as long as we are here together, we will continue to worship, we will continue to baptize new believers, we will celebrate Jesus' death and his resurrection together, we will teach the Bible, and we will practice our faith. That's what we're saying, that we commit to one another, to doing these core things together as the Holy Spirit enables us. As the Holy Spirit enables us. And that is how we grow together. Now, I told you about Susie, who had come to the beach and came with her family to church. Following the service that day, someone found me and told me that Susie really needed to speak with me, that I needed to meet with her. I was greeting people at the door. They found me and they're like, hey, Susie really needs to talk to you. What I didn't tell you earlier is that by the time I had met Susie that day, the marriage was over, the kids were out of the house, and she was in love now with a married man who is a man that was married to somebody else. And through her tears that day came her story of brokenness, of loneliness, of sin, of adultery, and despair. Now, I can't tell you on that day what I was speaking on, what part of the Bible we were learning from. I can't tell you that. And I can't tell you what songs that we sang that day. Because quite frankly, it made no difference what passage of the Bible that we were speaking from or learning from. And it made no difference what songs we sang that day. Because God had shown up, not because of those things, not in spite of those things, but he showed up because he was breaking into Susie's life. He broke through her world and brought into her life a conviction like I rarely see in someone's life. And I did my best as we sat there in my office to counsel her, to pray with her, and to trust her into God's hands. Now, I don't know what happened in Susie's life moving forward. She lived 2 hours away. She wasn't a regular part of our community. I never saw her again. But what I did learn that day is that God shows up amongst his people whenever and wherever he wants to. He is always present, but sometimes he breaks through in a very special way, in a very powerful way. And we can't manufacture that. We can't force that. We can't manipulate that. We are not in control of God. He is the one who is sovereign. He is the one in control. And so when he wants to, he will break into somebody's life in a powerful, powerful way in that. And it's not because the sermons are better in one place than another, or the music is more contemporary, or anything like that. God breaks through in all different kinds of churches, in all different kinds of small groups, Bible studies, that he shows up. And you've been there. You've experienced it. You've been sitting in that living room with somebody, and they just are in tears because God is just so real to them at that moment. His grace, his forgiveness is so real to them. It is overwhelming. And that is a powerful, holy moment. Sometimes he does those moments here. Sometimes he does them somewhere else. But they're always happening in community. And so that is why we gather. We gather with an anticipation that God is going to do for someone what he did for Susie that day. And we will continue to gather and do these things because we know that God works in community with us. And we cooperate with him in that to the best of our abilities. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for the salvation that is available to us because Jesus died for our sins on the cross. And God, whether it is somebody that is here that has never accepted that free gift of salvation because of what Jesus has did, or if it's somebody here whose heart has just wandered or gotten cold and they just feel distant from you, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just break into their life this day. God, and they would sense your presence in their life. God, that they would ask for the forgiveness or the grace or the salvation that they need from Jesus today. God, my prayer is that they wouldn't leave today until they know your goodness and your grace and your forgiveness in their life, no matter what's gone on, no matter where they're at, God. Because you are working in this space. You are working in our lives. You are so real right now. We just thank you for it, God. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.